That would be me. And folks, it's Friday. It's Long Neck Friday, which means... We give a very, very... That's enough now. Go away. We give a very, very big Friday welcome to Adam McDonald, who joins us live in the man cave this morning. Good morning to you, Brother Adam.
Good morning, Skipper. How are you?
And Sister Jessica is with us. She's called Sister when we bring her into the man cave. It's
G'day.
G'day, Jess.
How's it going? Hey, Adam.
Hey, Jess. How are you?
Doing well. We have had quite the week. We've probably got a lot to discuss this man cave.
We got a lot to talk about this week, Adam. Jess, what's been the highlight for you?
We chatted a lot about whether controversial is boxing and the UFC sport, the severity of concussions, living on a houseboat, Jeff and his dog. His miso gave him an ultimatum.
Oh, yes.
It's me or the dog. And we also talked about apprenticeships and how hard it is to get into one now.
We also talked about hydrogen and nuclear power being alternative energies. Are electric cars really worth it? But what about the two grand final dickheads from Victoria? They've been labelled the selfish Victorians. They breached Western Australia's strict COVID travel laws. Adam, as you know, they went to the AFL Grand Final via Darwin and then forged travel documents. Got somehow into the Grand Final. They obviously knew the players. They have been found guilty. They pleaded guilty to three charges. They're going to jail.
I think that's a good thing. I say sucko.
They got a 10-month sentence, suspended 7 months. So for 3 months they're going to jail. They're going to spend Christmas in jail.
Yep. Good.
Jess,
I got no sympathy.
Too harsh or not?
Oof, I think people are over it. I mean, people haven't seen their parents or their kids or their partners for over a year. People aren't sure they're going to see their loved ones for Christmas. I think people have had enough and they're wanting harsher sentencing.
Well, they got it. They're going actually to jail. 3 months. They got a 10-month sentence, suspended for 7 months. They're going to spend 3 months in jail. Jess, one of our big talkers this week was Jeff, the girlfriend and the dog. Explain to Adam.
Yes. Jeff and his partner are moving in together. They're talking about moving in together, but Jeff has had a dog for many years
Six years,
in love with this dog, takes care of the dog, best friends. The dog's been in the picture longer than the missus. She's not into it. She's not a dog person. And she said, if you want to live with me, it's me or the dog.
Me or the dog. The dog's name is Frankie, a six-year-old Labrador. Jeff, in his email, said he's the first love of my life and my best friend, but he's fallen in love with this woman. She's only been on the scene for 3 years, but it looks as though they were about to move in together, Adam. But she has said, not with the dog.
I guess Jeff's going to miss her, isn't he? There's two things you don't mess around with a man. It's his dog and his car.
Exactly.
You know, you come, sorry, but she's out.
Well, that's what most people have said. So that's the end of that discussion. Thanks for that. 1-333-53 is the...
Yeah, a lot of people are in agreement with you, Adam.
Yeah. What else have we talked about this week, Jess? Oh, Dr. Karen...
I think they've been the big things.
Dr. Karen Phelps, you mentioned this. Dr. Karen Phelps has written a book, How to Keep Your Brain Young. And one of the chapters, Adam, is she talks about CTE, concussions, which are very, very prevalent in contact sports in this country, particularly rugby league and AFL. She says that sports that where the rules deliberately attack the head, and she talked about boxing and certain martial arts sports like UFC, she says they should be banned and be made illegal.
I think it's a personal preference. When you pull on those boxing gloves, you know what you're getting in for. I don't think you can mandate and say we're going to rub it out altogether, because I think people love those sports. People are good at those sports. I just think you know what you're getting into. So if you're willing to do it, it's up to you. It's your choice. You're not getting forced to get in that ring.
So it's up to you. She says it's only a matter of time until these sports get sued. Have they thought about that? Anyway, we'll talk about that this morning. The other thing is, the question that we asked this week, Jess, was, has lockdown made us a nation of bludgers? Hot topic, Jess.
Too many payments for people who may have rigged the system, we're finding out, and Australians aren't happy about it. But look, on the other side of the coin, there are people desperate for work who have been trying for over a year to find a job, cannot find anything, or if they do, it's in another state, they can't travel there. Kind of divided on this one this week, I think.
Yeah, there was a bloke on the Current Affair. He has a powder coating business, and he has been trying to find workers for over a year. He says he can't. He says the problem is there are too many handouts out there now, and it's easier to sit on the lounge than get up and work. Our employment expert, Graham Wynn, absolutely agrees. He says it's very hard to get people to work while there are these benefits during lockdown and during COVID. He says when a state gets to 80% vaccination, stop the payments.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I find my work's got a lot harder during the lockdown. I'm working a lot harder to keep my business going. So, I mean, you're always going to get those people who are willing to ride on the coattails of benefits and, you know, and rig the system. But I don't think it makes us a nation of bludgers. You know, there's always going to be bad apples.
133353 is the telephone number. Jess, we met a fantastic bloke, Mark, earlier this week. Adam, I got a funny feeling you'd love this story. Mark bought a shitty rundown caravan. He put it on a barge and he spends his life floating down the Murray. Every day a new address. He just stops off. He is completely off the grid and he lives full time on his houseboat. Could you do that?
I don't know. I like my creature comforts, to be honest. Living in a dusty old caravan on a barge, I'm not sure. But
we don't know. You are jumping to conclusions.
You said he bought an old caravan.
Yeah, but he did it up.
Oh yeah, right.
He painted it at least. I think he's got solar power. He's off the grid. The only problem is he doesn't fish. He's not a big fisherman, so he has frozen meat and he's. But he's got a fridge and a freezer that's run off the solar power. He's got everything he needs.
Is there any overheads? Like, do you have to pay, I guess it's not land tax, do you have mooring to pay river fee? Tax?
I don't know. Mooring fees here and there, I guess. He may be listening to us now. If he is, shall we get him to ring back?
Yeah, give us a call. I'd love to know what it's like.
Let's talk more about it. 133353 is the telephone number. Now, we had a new quickie this week. We're into day three today. This quickie is so up your alley. If you don't get it, there's something wrong with you.
You say that all the time.
There is something really wrong with you. So we'll play that a little bit later on. And a story that I wanted to talk about this morning. Who remembers the 1971 album Sticky Fingers? The Rolling Stones. Great album. And yet it opened up and it had the black jeans on the front. And you opened it up and there was Mick Jagger, we assume, in his underwear on the second page. And then you had the album notes and the words. Great album. Sticky Fingers, one of my favourites. Track one, side one, Brown Sugar. The Rolling Stones have announced that they are no longer going to play it live in concert because it's too offensive. It's always been controversial. Here's my question. Why now?
Yeah, I find it interesting why now. But, you know, it's the choice of the new generation, Luke. You know this. Everyone's starting to care about stuff like that. It is only a song. It has been around for years. I don't know. I think don't play it. They've got so many other number one hits. Why do you need to keep banging that one out?
Well, but why now? It's always been controversial.
Yeah, it's because it's the woke generation, Luke. Everyone's coming more au fait with that and speaking up about that and that sort of stuff. And you know, I don't think it's necessary to play it. They've got enough other big hits, so there's no point flogging that dead horse.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not a fan of the song, are you?
Not overly, no.
Well, I tell you what, I don't mind it. It's always been offensive. Let's have a look at some of the words. Gold Coast slave ship bound for cotton fields, sold in the market down in New Orleans. Sky Dog slaver knows he's doing all right. Hear him whip the women just around midnight. Those words haven't changed. They've always been the same. Drums beat bitten cold, English blood runs hot. Lady of the house wondering when it's going to stop. Houseboy knows he's doing all right. You should have heard him just around midnight. And it goes on. I bet your mama was a 10-show queen. Brown Sugar. The woke brigade has woken up on this. And the Rolling Stones have caved in. They are no longer going to play Brown Sugar live. Good decision or not? Plenty to talk about this morning. This is the Night Shift on Triple M. Oh, look. Oh. Is it going to be banned from radio soon, Adam?
I dare say it will.
Oh, really? There you go, the Rolling Stones. They have cut that song from their US tour. because of criticism over the lyrics referring to slavery. Keith Richards told the Los Angeles Times recently, you picked up on that, eh? You picked up. Well, it's only been since the album's only been out since 1971. He says, yeah, you picked up on that. He said, I'm trying to figure out with the sisters quite where the beef is. Didn't they understand this was a song about the horrors of slavery? But they're trying to bury it. At the moment, I don't want to get into conflicts, he said. I'm hoping that we'll be able to resurrect the babe in her glory somewhere along the track. But they have folded. They have folded to cancel culture. Adam McDonald. 133-53 is the telephone number. Conan's online. He's got a question for you. Conan, good morning.
Morning, mate. How are you?
I'm good. Adam's there. What's your question?
G'day, Adam.
Hey, Conan.
I'm just wondering, what determines the value of trading cards?
Well, there's lots of things that'll make a trading card collectible. It's the availability, it's the condition, it's the rarity. If the trading card, the person on the trading card has been controversial at some stage, always makes it a bit more collectible. How decorated their career is, there's hundreds of things that make them collectible.
Okay, yeah, because I've got a couple of gold edition Steve Walters NRL from 1994 cards, and I was just wondering how to determine their value, because they've been kept in a plastic, hard plastic case the whole time.
They're brand new.
Pretty much,
untouched, Adam.
Yeah, untouched. They're always good to keep them in those little, those hard plastic covers. With the NRL cards, the money's not huge. It's not the sort of type of money that you pull in the States for baseball and basketball cards. I'd have to do some research, to be honest. There's plenty of websites that you can look at to tell us that'll tell you exactly how collectible that card is. Off the top of my head, I don't know much about the Steve Walters card or the year, but I could definitely do some research, so you can hit me up on Facebook with the details and I'll be able to find out for you for sure.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, that sounds good.
Just while you're there, Conan, Adam, tell the folks the story of the Shoeless Joe Jackson card that came up for auction. Listen to this.
Yeah, so over in the States, the Shoeless Joe Jackson card...
Explain who he is.
...went through auction. He was a pitcher for the White Sox in the early 1920. And one of his cards came up at auction. The estimate for the card at auction was 200 to 400,000, which is pretty big money for a bit of cardboard, but it ended up getting knocked for $1.47 million. So that broke all the records with cards. Now, the interesting thing about this card is it was a signed card, like a hand-signed card, but...
He was illiterate.
He was illiterate, exactly right. So, you know, this would be a one-off, and the card was a picture of him sort of mid-pitch. But the thing I found most interesting about it, Shoeless Joe and some of his teammates were thrown out of the league in 1919 for fixing the World Series. Now, he claimed that he wasn't part of it, but it was railroaded into signing a document that said he was. Again, being illiterate, I don't know how you'd get that done, but... This is what makes the card so collectible. Like, it would dead set be an absolute one off.
Now, wasn't Shoeless Joe Jackson and that controversy featured in the movie Field of Dreams?
That's right. That's where the story was.
And so he had unfinished business, and that's why he was attracted to the Field of Dreams, because his career ended with a terrible blot on it, and so that was they wove that part of the story into the movie, didn't they?
That's right, and he tried for years to get back into the league, and they just never let him. They put their foot down and said, "No, you were part of the scheme. It's part of the scam." So he was ousted. His career could have gone anywhere. Like, he wasn't even at a peak of his powers when he went ousted. So that's why the card makes the card so interesting.
Wow, Shoeless Joe Jackson. How much did it go for?
$1.47 million.
Wow. Unbelievable.
So it's just interesting. Like, the money that people pay in the States for trading cards is absolutely huge. There was a LeBron James autographed card that's, you know, from 2003, so they don't have to be old. That got $5.2 million. So there's huge money in trading cards over there. But the Australian market is not so strong or so lucrative, but it's very interesting. The Australian trading card started around the turn of the century with Goodwin and Co. Cigarettes, and so most of the trading cards in Australia
are cigarettes
with tobacco background.
Not bubblegum.
The bubblegum came in around the 1950s when Scanlon sort of came big, and that's when the cards were big. But the biggest card I could find that was sold in Australia was a 1963 Graham Polly Farmer card who played for the Geelong Cats, and that got 7,200. So the money's not huge, but there's still money out there. There's definitely still money out there.
But they came from cigarettes.
So from the 1900s, you had the Goodwin's cards. Then it was Cinders and Abrahams that were selling under the Capsum tobacco. Then Hoadley's and Ellis, McIntyre Brothers, they were all cigarette cards. So I'm not sure if they eventually, once they got to the 50s, they sort of decided to steer the cards to be more collectible by children and make them into bubblegum cards. But the confectionery game took over, and that's where the traditional card is now.
Adam McDonald, it's the man cave. We're without Simon, if it's sounding a little strange. Simon's not with us today, couldn't be with us. But Adam McDonald from the TV show Aussie Pickers, head auctioneer at Lawson's, is with us. Adam, just while you're on sporting memorabilia, and you may need to do some research into this, but I'd be very keen for you to find out, and I don't want to sound, you know, mercenary, but one of the greats of rugby league, and you're a rugby league fan, Norm Provan has passed away.
Yes, he passed away yesterday.
Died yesterday at the age of 89. Bloody good innings. And what a gentleman, and what a gladiator he was. In fact, the Rugby League Premiership Trophy is called the Summons Provan Trophy, where these two great gladiators, one that played for St George, the other playing for Western Suburbs, met on that very, very wet, muddy day at the SCG, and you couldn't recognise them. But they embraced at the end of the game, and that's the scene that you see on the NRL Trophy, the trophy that the Penrith Panthers respected so much they went and broke it. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. But Norm Provan, he debuted for St George in 1951. He played in the second row throughout his 14-year career at the Dragons. He was captain coach for the last four. Remember, this is before the six-tackle rule, unlimited tackles, and St George went and won all those premierships in a row. 11, I think it was. Norm Provan memorabilia would be worth what now, Adam?
Well, it's only going to go up, especially with anything signed, because there'll be no more signatures done, of course. He's always been an icon of the game, so I'd say that his memorabilia has always had a good deal of collectability, but now that he's left us, it's only going to go through the roof. But I'll definitely do some research, and I'll get back to you with what the sort of money market you're looking at.
Yeah. You think of the rugby league years, 1956 to 1966, and the Dragons just dominated, a streak of 11 premierships in a row. And they were one of those sporting teams, Adam, that were so good at what they did, they changed the rules.
Yeah, they had to. They were so dominating, especially with that unlimited tackle. They would just grind you into nothing. You'd be, you know, you played the game for an hour and you're tackling for 50 minutes of that game. They would just totally dominate you.
They knew about possession, and they won 11 premierships in a row. Never before and never again, I doubt. It makes me think about other sporting individuals and sporting teams that were so dominant they had to go and change the rules. One that comes to mind, Adam, is Wilt Chamberlain, the basketballer, who was one of the first 7-footers. Some people say he was really 6'11", but scored over 100 points in one game because he sat under the basket, kept catching the ball and scoring. So they brought in the 3-second rule in the paint because of Wilt Chamberlain.
Right. So you know you're at the top of the game when they've got to change the rules
To keep everybody else in it, exactly. 133353 is the number. The Night Shift on Triple M. If you want to join in, if there's something you'd like to talk about, welcome to the Man Cave. Pull up a bar stool. We're up for a chat. The Offspring I'm telling you now, Warren, the emails are coming through. You heard Warren, Plum Boy, the truckie. Is he a whinger? Is he a professional whinger? He doesn't rate his profession very highly, but then he does and then he doesn't. And if his kids who go to a private school were encouraged to drive a truck by their careers advisors, he'd go down and clip them. That's what he said. 133353 is the number. Adam McDonald is with us in the man cave. We'll come back in a sec. Is your clothesline looking old and shabby? Forget the cheap plastic ones. What you need is a brand new Hills hoist, fully installed by Aussie Hoists. Now, this is a night shift Triple M special deal. You can get the original galvanized Hills hoist. Look, they have the wall hung ones. They have the fold down models. They've got something for everybody's house. But if you want to look at the original galvanized Hills hoist, starting at $289, we have a special deal right now. You will get free contactless installation by fully vaccinated technicians when you purchase any Hills clothesline. And the first 20 callers today are going to get a 10-pack of the Hills Premium Pegs. They're free as well. 10-year or a lifetime warranty, you can buy with confidence. Call 1-300-092-862. Write the number down. I'll repeat it in a second. Get a pen. You can head straight to aussiehoists.com.au and bring that great Aussie icon back into your yard today, aussiehoists.com.au. But here's the number. Leave a message and say, I heard it with Luke on Triple M. 1-300-092-862. aussiehoists.com.au. Got a question for our audience. It's a very, very man cave question this morning. Adam turned 45 yesterday. Happy birthday, buddy.
Feeling every 45 of those years.
Happy birthday, Adam. 45 yesterday. You've only just told me. I didn't know you, you bastard. You shouldn't have told me. I'll have to send you a nice Shiraz. Adam is having a poker night tonight. So your missus is obviously still away somewhere.
Yeah, she's in Canberra.
Okay. Adam's having a poker night. There are going to be six players. He's going to do some buffalo wings, a barbecue. And just during the commercial break, Adam was saying it's a $50 startup. Everyone throws in 50 bucks, but you play for chips and off you go. My question is, have you ever played for money with friends? And has it turned into tears? I got a friend who was playing golf, and stupidly, they were drinking beers as they went around the 18 holes.
As you do, yeah.
As you do. And then they were keeping each other's cards. And when they got to about the 16th, one of them said, how many did you put me down for that hole? I said, five. He said, you're kidding, it was three. He said, you hacked it twice and when you're up in the rough, I saw you hacking twice. It got into it. This is not a word of a lie. It got heated and it came to blows. It was a public golf course, so neither of them could have got banned. They were just kicked out. They didn't finish the 18 holes. It came to blows. They were actually playing for money, and I can't remember how much per hole. They were two great friends and they came to blows on the golf course and it was alcohol induced. Have you ever played poker with your buddies and has it ever gotten a little bit testy?
Well, I think playing poker, there's rules are rules. Like
there are in golf too.
Yeah, but holding other ones, someone else's card, and you know, if someone's further down the fairway, you might get away with cheating with a stroke that they miss. But if you're sitting at the same table, rules are rules. It's all there is. But the most interesting thing about tonight is there's four or five auctioneers playing, right? And an auctioneer's job is to read the crowd. So the mind games that go on in these card games, like we've had them before, and they're epic battles. But the mind games that go on are like, I'm gonna read your face.
The poker face,
and everybody's got a tell. Like, I don't care how good you are, everybody's got one.
Like what? Give me an example. What's a tell?
it tells like you'll twitch, you'll move your chips around a certain way, you'll sit back, you sigh, you can tell their heart rate goes up, but everyone's got a little bit of something. Yeah, everybody's got a little bit of something, and the auctioneer's card games are a battle of wit more than skill.
1-3-3-5-3 is the phone number. Have you ever been playing something for money and it's turned into drama? Now, many years ago, and I don't know where this bloke's gone, but he was one of the top 10 pool players, tournament players in Australia. And his last name was Reed, spelt the same as my middle name, R-E-A-D, Reedy. And I don't know where Reedy's gone. He's gone off into the ether. Reedy was going to give me lessons so that I could beat Nicky. I don't know. Reedy's just disappeared. But he was telling me that he went to a pub or a club and no one there knew who he was. And there was some serious money on the table. And he did a job on this smart ass. There was a group of people there. And Reedy lost a couple of games and then came back and lost a game and wound this guy up. And there was alcohol involved. And Reedy ended up taking quite a fair bit of money off this bloke. The bloke realised, I think at the very end, that he'd been had. He'd been hustled by a very good pool player. He was met outside in the car park and a gun was produced. I'm not kidding.
Wow. Wow. It can get testy. I used to play, years ago, I used to play in the NPL, like a National Poker League, and I went to this...
Oh, are you a gun?
Yeah, I've played a lot. And I went to this pub that I'd never played at before. And it was a friendly game with these dudes I didn't know. I came down to one chip. I had one $20 chip left, and I went all in. I came back and I won that tournament. And I was told in no uncertain terms, you are never ever to come back to this pub again.
But you didn't cheat.
I didn't cheat. I just hit a golden streak, and I won. I think I won $400 a night, but. As I walked out, they said, well done, mate, but do not ever come back here again.
How much did you walk away with?
400.
That's nothing.
It's nothing, no. But I think it was more, they were more embarrassed. I mean, I might have had a couple of beers and was maybe a bit lippy. But I never went back there.
1-3-3-5-3, have you ever been involved in a game? Money's involved and it's come to blows. Tell us your story. 1-3-3-5-3. Nick's online. He's been waiting for a while. Nick, sorry to keep you. Go ahead.
That's okay, mate. I just wanted to ring up about the Jimmy Brings situation.
Yeah, it's a sad story, but, I mean, where does responsibility lie?
Well, I don't think it relies on Jimmy Brings. That's for sure. I think it's up to each person to make their own decision as an informed human being, as an adult, their right to make their own decisions and what they want to do.
Just for those who have just joined us, yeah, a terrible story. A 49-year-old man died in his Bondi home. It turns out that he'd been receiving large amounts of alcohol every day for quite some time during lockdown from Jimmy Brings. And they are going to be investigated over the death of this man. They were delivering 3 bottles of wine to his home every day, almost every day for quite some time. And the New South Wales alcohol regulator is now investigating over whether it broke the state's responsible service laws in delivering wine and spirits to a person's home. And I'm just saying, how would Jimmy Brings know how many people were in the house drinking this wine?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure about that answer, but, you know, I've worked in hospitality for about 15 years now. I'm extremely passionate about the industry. Managed everything from cocktail bars to restaurants and nightclubs and that sort of thing. But, when it comes down to it, the definition of an RSA is when you serve someone, are they intoxicated at that moment of service? If they're sober at the point of service, at the point of sale, exchange for money for the alcohol or consumable goods, then they're deemed okay. So RSA isn't really applicable in my definition of it.
Okay, can I ask you this then? You're just the person I want to talk to, and I know Adam wants to ask you a question. But Nick, if Adam walks into his BWS after work today and he needs a trolley because he's got 6 people coming around for cards. So Adam goes and gets three boxes of beer, a bottle of bourbon, a bottle of rum, a bottle of vodka, a bottle of gin, because he doesn't know who's drinking what. he's not going to drink the whole lot on his own tonight. He's got people coming around. He's restocking his bar. The person at the BWS, are they obliged to say, Adam, is all that for you?
Well, absolutely not. No. As far as I'm aware, I mean, look at Christmas time when every person is in Dan Murphy's stocking up for the week period. You know, you see people with 3-4 trolleys in there stocking up and nobody knows who that's for. But so I don't think that's the case at all. And it kind of goes, you know, as someone that's worked in bars, if old mate Tom walks into the bar 10 days in a row, has his few beers, leaves every day, but on the, say, the 14th or 15th day in a row, he walks in completely sober and I turn around and say, no, you can't have that beer because you've come in 15 days in a row. Like, people just don't do that. So what's the difference, in my opinion?
Adam.
I agree. It is a tough situation, but this man that passed away, it's his decision. He's obviously calling up and ordering 100%. Jimmy Brings sober.
100%.
Well, I assume he's calling up sober. That,
well, who would know?
You
don't breath test somebody over the phone. And who knows it was even over the phone, Adam? He may well have ordered it just on the internet with his credit card.
Well, it's on the app.
Sure, but if that Jimmy Brings driver pulls up and drops his 3 bottles of wine off to this obviously intoxicated person, does he take it away? Or what gives a Jimmy Brings driver, have they done their RSA to deliver booze? It's a big grey area, but I don't think it's Jimmy Brings' issue. I think it's the person who's ordering it.
Okay, but going back to a caller we had much earlier, Nick, what if Menulog or Uber Eats or one of them delivers copious amounts of McDonald's and KFC to a house every day and the person inside dies of a heart attack or something? Are they to blame?
Well, yeah, well, that's the question, isn't it? And that kind of leads into my second point into that. You know, alongside your RSAs, you have what's called an RSG. So it's your responsible service of gambling. Any venue that has pokies, keno, horse racing, tabby, anything like that, need to have a gambling license, and people need to be trained in responsible service of gambling. So the question that I wanted to ask you and what your thoughts on this is, you know, if old mate walks into the casino for 15 days straight and he spends thousands and thousands of dollars every night he's losing. And all of a sudden, you know, the casino's noticing he's losing, so they comp him things, you know, get him to come back. I'll give him free meals. I'll give him free accommodation, free booze. I'll just keep feeding him up with alcohol. That they reward these people for losing money. But then 15 days later, he goes home and unfortunately tops himself because he can't afford to pay his mortgage. Why are we not looking at the casinos for that, for an issue along those lines?
So I don't know the answer. What is the answer to that? If a casino or a RSL or any licensed club that has poker machines.
Yeah, gambling license.
Gambling license. And they see somebody coming in every day doing their shirt, do they have a responsibility to refuse them service, Adam?
They don't. And it happens from on the major scale, like Nick was just saying, in casinos where, you know, you'll get a room comped or meals comped, down to the local pub where if you're sitting there for an hour or two, you'll get a couple of free beers or a couple of free drinks. You'll get free snacks. The main thing for that club is to keep you sitting at that machine.
Yeah,
they don't 100%. Want you to have to get up and leave.
100%. That's why they don't have clocks. They don't have windows. No. They don't have anything in the casino where you can see what the time is. You know, if you're talking larger scale,
that's right.
That's the tricks that they ploy.
But, I even heard that they pump in oxygen to keep you awake. I don't know.
Well, they do. It's cold air. It's what they do to keep you awake. It's a known fact. They have food venues inside the casino where the gaming is. The only thing that's outside the gaming, based on the gaming regulations, is the ATMs. You can't have ATMs inside the gaming floor, but that's it. You know, how hard is it to walk outside the boundaries, grab more money, and walk back in?
Oh, so, I mean, as if not having an ATM inside the gambling hall. I mean, you go outside and go and get money.
100%. Yeah.
So
that was my thought process on it. Anyway,
it's a very, very good call, Nick. Thank you so much.
No worries at all.
It's a sad story, but I mean, and what if you are in quarantine? Sorry, by the way. No, I'll finish my point, then I'll ask you. If you're in quarantine, you can't answer the door. When someone rings the doorbell, they leave behind whatever it is they're leaving behind, Adam. They have to leave. Then you've got to wait 30 seconds. This is if you're in your home quarantining. But Nick, tell me how these alcohol delivery services work. It's an app, is it?
Well, look, personally, in central Queensland where I am, we don't have it here. It has gone into southeast Queensland, but it's only relatively new, and I've never personally used it. However, it is an app that I know of, and you just go on there as if it was Uber Eats or MenuLog and just pick your poison and order it, and it'll be delivered. So there's no communication
on the phone.
There's nothing at all. So, but as far as the quarantine side of things, and there's nothing at all, no. No. So you screened at the door as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, I've used it before. I think I got two or three bottles of wine and a packet of smokes delivered to the front door, and it's exactly like Uber. Ring the doorbell, they leave it there, they walk away.
So there's no way in the world the Jimmy Brings delivery driver would know if he's over the limit. Chances are there's no contact. You leave it at the door.
That's right. That's exactly right.
One, triple, three.
It's a grey area, but I don't think it's Jimmy Brings.
I don't think so either.
Hey, yeah. Nick, thank you for your call.
No worries at all. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye. Interesting stuff, isn't it? 133353, the Night Shift Triple M. Those callers on hold, there's lots to talk about, isn't there? This is what we do on a Friday. Eskimo Joe here on the Night Shift. Have you ever been involved in a very competitive game of something and it's come to blows? What about Reedy, the pool player? Had a gun pulled on him, Adam, in the car park of a club.
That's straight out hustling, though. He knew what he was doing. I don't think that's fair, going into a pub pretending not to be able to play.
Well, I think what happened was, I wish he was still with us. He hasn't rung me for a while. He actually sent me a T-shirt because he was Australia's number one, I think, at one point. But he said that he went in and they were, the guys on the table, the guys who were running the table were dickheads, and they challenged them, and he said they were there for the picking.
Yeah, right.
If you are really good at something and somebody challenges you, are you supposed to tell them your qualifications? Let's just say some dickhead in the basketball court, some bunny, is a smart ass and a loudmouth and a trash talker and challenges me to a game of one-on-one, and I don't tell them about my basketball background and I take money off them and I beat them. Is that wrong?
Well, do you throw the first couple of games to get more money on the table?
Mate, I haven't got enough energy to get through a couple of games. they get my best game straight away and that's it, mate, okay?
Okay. Yeah, well, it sounded like Reedy threw a couple of games to get more money on the table and then stood up and wiped the floor with them.
So? That's called gamesmanship. That's skill, isn't it?
Oh, it's called a hustle. That's what that's called.
Is that wrong?
No, that's your game, that's your game. But I don't know. Pulling
I don't know. I don't understand cards. The only card game I play is 500, and I love 500, except I give people the shits because as I have a few drinks as I'm going, I forget what's trumps and I forget what I'm like. and 500, you're playing with a partner. So you're not only letting yourself down, you're letting your partner down too. So you've got to concentrate. But I play 500. I don't know how to play poker. I never learned. Can you?
Yeah, it's a great game.
Can you throw poker and have people think you're a bunny and then come back, or is it all about the chance of you getting a good hand?
Well, it's got a lot to do with chance, but it's got a lot to do with you recognizing what the other people should have or could have, and whether your possibility of cards you will draw will be better than theirs.
How do you do that?
Oh, it's a pretty basic game, you know. Like, it's a pretty basic game, but the intricacy behind it is reading players and taking a chance of what cards are going to come up next.
How much? Okay, before I go to the break, in poker, what do you play? Texas Hold'em. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but I heard of that. How much in the fair dinkum world, Adam? How much is skill? How much is luck?
Oh, I reckon it's maybe 70% skill.
Really?
Like you've got to know what hands you're chasing.
Mate, you've got to know when to hold them. You've got to know when to fold them. Right?
Oh yes, thank you, Kenny. Yes, but it's definitely a game of skill because in the Texas Hold'em, you get your two cards, and you're trying to get the best five card hand. Then four other cards come out on the table face up, and everyone's got to share those face up cards. Five cards come out face up, and it's who can assemble the best five card hand out of the seven cards available. So everyone knows what five of the cards are, and everyone's got their own two that no one sees. So there could be a pair out on the table that are face up, pair of twos, and you could have another two in your hand. So then no one knows that you've got three of a kind. So there's lots of skill to it, and it's all about when you bet, how you bet. So if you've got a really strong hand, you'll limp in, and you'll throw a little bit out there and try and entice other people to bet. And then once the cards come out, then you go bang, you put a big bet in, and they either fold or they match your bet and you take them that way. So lots of skill in, especially in how you're placing your bets.
Is it true that you never count your money while you're sitting at the table?
I never do. I'm sure people do. Like, people sit
there.
That
was a joke.
I know it was. People sit there playing with their chips. That's the other thing. It's all about tells. That's the fascinating thing I love behind it. I mean, the game itself is great, but it's the mindset and the me picking your brain and knowing what you've got to see how excited you are.
And it's all mind games. Hey, I've never played it. No, I don't think I'm about to start. 133-53 is the phone number. It's the Man Cave. Adam McDonald is with us, star of the TV show Aussie Pickers. Simon not with us today. He couldn't be with us, but he'll be back next week. I'm going to take a break, Adam, and then the quickie is coming up. It's day three today. And, Adam, this is a song, I'm telling you now, you know it. Everybody listening knows it. It is a classic piece of Triple M rock. And it's coming up after this. Brother, Adam McDonald is with us in the Man Cave today. A Long Neck Friday, always drink responsibly. Correct, Adam?
Correct.
Yeah.
Always.
Always drink responsibly. The quickie, Adam, is right up your sleeve. Now, I said to Adam at the beginning of the day, I said, Adam, do you want me to tell you what the quickie is? He said, no. He said, no, I want to guess it like a punter, which is a listener.
Let's have a go. Do we have any clues?
Yes, we do. I'll give you a listen to it first. The clue so far is it is a female singer. Okay, so it's not a band. It's not a male artist. It is a female artist. Today's clue, she's deceased.
You're right.
Yeah. 133-53, here it is. That is the quickie. Has somebody got close? Not yet. And today is day three. Where are we going? Steve's in Adelaide. G'day, Steve.
G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Steve. What did you want to talk about? Welcome to the Man Cave.
Oh, I was just ringing up about old mate was sitting stuck on his shoe.
Yeah, that's Warren, okay? That's Warren. He says that truckies are considered usually by the general public as shit under a shoe. Well, you heard what he had to say. He doesn't think it's a very honourable profession, but then again, he says it is. He says it isn't, then it is. We were talking last week about what are we going to do to replace all the truckies that are about to retire, because without truckies, our shelves are empty. And
that's part of vaccines are part of that.
Hey?
Vaccines are part of that.
Vaccines, yeah, today is the day. It is the 15th of October. You can no longer go into Queensland as a truckie unless you've been double vaccinated. So there's a regular caller to this program, Choppy, who is refusing to get vaccinated. He doesn't trust it, doesn't like it, will not get vaccinated. He told me last week he's going to retire. Choppy, he is not allowed to go to his daughter's house and visit his granddaughter. His daughter won't let him in until he gets vaccinated.
To be honest, mate, I think the country's gone crazy. A lot of people haven't done it hard enough. like I worked for a good trucking company. I drove trucks before I got sick. I got cancer. When I got cancer, I had to stop work. I've now beaten it. I've come back to work.
Well done.
Then it's a matter of, now we've got to get this injection. If you put yourself in my shoes, it's like, I don't like the idea of getting the injection, but I'm not willing to test out this coronavirus to see how sick am I going to get with no immune system or...
But would you have a medical exemption?
No, I don't need one. Once you've faced cancer and you've done chemo, it's all about your immune system and your white blood cells.
That's right. Your immune system is compromised. I get that.
Yep. And so therefore, it's a matter of, well, am I going to go to a shop and risk my immune system and my health in getting this thing? And I'm probably one of the last. My best mate turned to me the other week and said, I can't believe you went and got the jab. He thought I'd be the last person to get it.
Why?
I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist out there in the world. But I am not willing to put my life on the line to find out. So
this is what I said to Chubby. He doesn't trust the vaccine. You know, he's read all this stuff on the internet. It's all bullshit. He doesn't believe. People say they've done their research. What's your research? Oh, I've read something on the internet. And the real researchers who have developed the vaccine, it's what they do for a living. They develop vaccines. So Choppy would rather trust his arm against a potentially deadly virus than trust the vaccine.
I think Choppy needs a teaspoon of concrete.
He'd be listening there. I won't hear the end of this. Adam.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've got a bloke at work, young fella. I think he's about 23, and he's the same as Choppy. He goes, I don't trust it. It's not being tested. And I was having a word. We were talking about it the other day, and I said, how many people do you know that have died from getting the vaccination, or that you've done the research? If you've done the research, what are the numbers? He said, they're pretty low. And I said, what about put against how many people have died from the virus? And he said, they're really high. And I said, so you're willing to chance yourself against the virus rather than getting the vaccination? And he sort of clicked. Like, you sort of saw a thing terming and go, well, it's... Once I sort of laid it on the line to him, say, your numbers are crazy. I don't know, but he's a refuser, and I don't understand why.
Can I just ask anyone this, though? If you are double vaccinated, which is no 100% guarantee you won't get sick, you might get it, but the science is saying if you do get it, it'll be a mild case. If you do get it and you're double vaccinated, the chances are you'll get a mild case and you won't need a bed in ICU and you won't need a respirator. But if people refuse to get vaccinated, why would vaccinated people give a shit?
Well, this is exactly right. That's where I'm at the moment. Like, if you don't want to get vaccinated, that's up to you. That's on you. Like, it's a personal choice. I'm not going to run around and saying you can't come. I don't want to hang out with you, I don't want to go near you because you're not vaccinated. That's a bit over the top. So if you don't want to get vaccinated, it's totally your choice.
Well, it's been tried in the Fair Work Commission. And people, a nurse, a number of people, policemen, two police officers, who have been told if they don't get vaccinated, they don't have a job. And Fair Work has said, no, you have no case for unfair dismissal.
I think that's fair enough. It's in the terms and conditions of your employment. It's in the terms and conditions of your employment.
Steve?
Yeah. To me, it's not worth taking the chance. A common cold could kill me, and I am not going to chance that. I went and even got the flu shot this year. It is not worth taking the chance and just finding out whether a common cold will do me in or not.
Yeah. Well, look, I tell you what, I would love to send you some Nature B.
I would love it, mate.
I will send you 3 months. Adam, tell Stuart what Nature B's done for you.
Mate, it's good gear. you know, I've talked about it a fair bit, how I had my accident and I was on a lot of heavy medication, but wasn't agreeing with me. I got on the Nature Bee and it sorted me out. So it's just done so much. My energy levels, my sleeping patterns, my concentration levels, especially now everyone's coming out of lockdown, to boost your immune system, especially for someone like you, Steve, who, you know, a common cold could knock over. The Nature Bee stuff's just gold. Get on board.
It does boost your immune system. It's nutrition. It is natural. Nature Bee. Powerpollen.com.au. Powerpollen.com.au. And if you get your 3 months' worth, $69.95, you get the bonus 2 creamy honey pollen soaps. But I've been on it for 21 years. Raised a family on it. Adam swears by it. Most of my listeners have reordered. So you stay there, Steve. Jess will get your details, and I'll send you 3 months of Power Pollen Nature Bee, 133353. G'day, Craig, is it?
Yeah, mate, yeah. How are you?
I'm good, Craig.
Just want to have a go at a quickie.
Okay.
Tina Turner, the best.
She's still with us. Poor old Tina. The clue was she's deceased.
Oh, I didn't hear that clue. Was that the
I just did it then.
I've been on old.
Our female artist providing today's quickie is sadly deceased.
I'll think again then.
Have a think again. It's got Adam beat. 133353.
Not yet, it hasn't.
Oh, do you reckon you know it?
I'm mulling over a few options.
Write it down on the piece of paper. Don't blurt it out on air.
Righto.
John, hello.
How you going?
Good, John. What's up?
I just wanted to ring up to talk about Warren and his thinking that I struck drivers in pieces of shit.
He says that's what the public thinks. But look, Warren also thinks that he says it's a tough game. It's unforgiving. It's backbreaking. What else did he say? He sounds like he hates his job, but then at the end he says it's an honourable profession, and then he says, if a careers advisor at his children's private school, he said that 100 times, recommended to one of his kids that they drive trucks, he'd go down and clock them. So I don't know. What do you reckon?
I don't know. I'd be quite impressed if one of my kids turned around and said they wanted to follow my footsteps and drive trucks.
You'd be proud, would you? Tell me about it.
Well, mate, you got to think about it. Like, truck driving it's an ungrateful job. You are treated, like, poorly. But without us, Australia will stop.
But is it something that you would like your children to do? I would. In the fair income department?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen more of Australia driving a truck than what most people have at work and offices.
Okay.
Like, every job you get out of it, what you put into it.
True.
So...
Okay, let's have a look at some of the things Warren said. He says it's poorly paid. Is it a shit-paid job?
It's probably not a job you'll ever become a millionaire on, no.
Is it dangerous?
Of course it's dangerous.
Is it back-breaking?
Depend on what you're doing.
This is everything Warren said. Is it a shit job?
No. No, it's not a shit job.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're selling it very well either.
Mate, backbreaking. Every job can be backbreaking. You got someone that's sitting in an office, sitting in a chair all day, will tell you it's backbreaking. You know, like, I don't know, mate. And can I just mention one other thing? Oh, mate, they're going on about all the immigrants coming in and, you know, filling up all the jobs we've got here in Australia. Why can't we go back to work for the dole, mate? There's plenty of people out there.
You're supposed to.
Employed.
You're supposed to. You're supposed to be actively searching for work and going to so many interviews a fortnight. I think it's 15. But people aren't. I've got a real estate expert I talk to, Graham Wynn. He runs an employment agency, and he says people are rorting it all the time. So we're not fair income. There are too many people on the dole. Centrelink doesn't have the resources to police it. That's the problem.
That's right, mate, and everyone knows it. And this payment that they gave everyone when COVID first hit, why would you go to work, mate?
Well, JobKeeper There's two, and they sound alike. There's JobKeeper and JobSeeker. JobSeeker is the unemployment benefit. But JobKeeper was given to people who had lost their jobs because of COVID. And I think that was a good thing in that people needed to keep buying food and putting something back into the economy. But now we've got states reaching 80% vaccination, and we've got employers screaming that they can't find workers. Is it time to stop it all?
Yeah, I used to know the job keeper, like the blokes that lost their job, can't feed their families, losing mortgages and everything, help them out. They paid their taxes for how many years working. People in the dole, nothing's changed for them, mate. They're still sitting at home playing PlayStation, smoking bombs. Nothing's changed for them. You know, we got to go to work every day to make sure they got money to get their dole payment every week.
I hear what you're saying. So, John, thanks for your 2 cents worth.
No worries, mate. Thank you.
Okay. There's a lot of people out there in Triple M land, Adam, that are annoyed that you've got employers screaming out for workers. Everybody from farmers needing fruit picked to restaurants wanting baristas and bar staff, and they're struggling to find these workers, apparently, because it's too easy not to work. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's the perception. 133353, where am I? Scott, good morning.
G'day, Luke. How are you?
I'm good, buddy.
Just on the quickie.
Yes, go on.
Janis Joplin, Piece of My Heart.
No.
No worries.
Sorry, Scotty. Gary, what do you got?
Aretha Franklin. And Respect.
No.
No.
Back to the drawing board.
That's about 9-0 for me.
Yeah, 9 from... Yeah. Adam, have you got anything?
No, still not yet.
You've got nothing. You've got ducking. You've got nothing. I wonder if we'll get a winner today. Good morning, Australia. How are you going? You all right? It is Friday, October 15. You're listening to The Night Shift with Luke and Adam around Australia, Triple M. Adrian, good morning.
How you going, Luke?
Adrian, I'm fantastic. Welcome to Friday. What have you got for me? Contribute to the program. Lift the tone for me, will you?
Well, I hope I'm right. I think it's Glee, Smooth Criminal, Annie.
No.
Oh, better luck next.
Better luck next time, mate. Mark, hello.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Good, thank you.
Just going to go over the quickie if I could.
Okay, I'm listening.
Cranberries, Zombie.
Great guess. No.
Okay, thank you.
I'm very, very sorry. 133353 is the telephone number if you want to be part of the program. Lots to talk about this morning. Lots to talk about. If you want your garden to go berserk, Swift Grow is the all-natural, environmentally friendly fertilizer that we discovered. We actually discovered it here on The Night Shift. In fact, Adam, I think we discovered Joe before he was ready to go with Swift Grow. Back when Joe first rang me, he was a barramundi farmer. And he used to sell his... Have you been to Riverstone and seen what he's done?
No, I haven't been out there. I know Riverstone quite well, but I haven't been out to Joe's place.
Are you in? Are you allowed to go? Are we all allowed to go now?
Yep, I would be, yep.
Go out. I'm telling you, Adam, go out to Riverstone and have a look at Joe's setup. He's about to move to an even bigger setup now. But he's a microbiologist. He's a scientist. And he's developed Swift Grow from the barramundi poo. And now what he's done is he's got another product called Swift Fort. And Swift Fort gets rid of the bugs, the aphids, the mold, the slugs, the snails, because they don't like it, but it attracts bees. And it's the perfect partner for Swift Grow. So here's the deal. You purchase 4 litres of Swift Grow right now, $119.95. Joe's going to throw in for free the Swift Fort, free of charge. And his wonderful family are there working with him. He's got his wife and his kids, and he's got his nephews there. It's a wonderful setup. So, Swift Grow, swiftgrow.com.au. Joe's phone number's there when you log on. You can ring him if you want, but or leave it. Just if you ring, if you go on now, swiftgrow.com.au, you can order online. And he will throw in the Swift Fort free of charge. Do it today. Get that garden going. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. Hey, Joel, good morning. Welcome to the Man Cave. Pull up a chair.
Hold up. Yep, that's me.
Get comfortable. What's up?
You mentioned something about truck drivers earlier.
Yeah.
And I had my two cents to say about it. With people that regard us as what's coming across as second-rate citizens in the terms of the working world, I think it's clearly unfair that people judge us because we're unskilled. I mean, I implore anybody to have a go at doing what we got to do on a daily basis. Get off the chair in the office, get behind a wheel, and drive hundreds of kilometres a day.
I agree. I'm your biggest fan. I have it's Warren. Warren's a truck driver. He's been driving for years, and truck drivers are regarded as unskilled labour. And you heard what Warren said. He doesn't think that the public perception of truck drivers is very high. And he actually said he would be disappointed after spending all the money that he spent on private education with his kids if they wanted to become a truck driver. That was coming from a truck driver.
Jesus, it's pretty rough.
Oh, he's a whinger.
Yeah.
He's a massive whinger. I've told him this. He could whinge for Australia.
It's pretty rough considering, like, you can go anywhere from being just a local truck driver or even a delivery driver for Coles or Woolworths, earning, you know, your decent minimum wage and stuff like that, making a good, honest living. Or you could be like my father, he has his own semi-trailer.
Yeah.
And he does a run from Brisbane to Cairns and Cairns back down again once a week is his contract. And he earns anywhere between $8,000 to $10,000 a week.
Really?
And my stepmom does his finances for him, like his accounting and stuff, and all his tax and stuff like that. So he's all above board. He's all on the books.
He goes Brisbane to Cairns and back. How long does it take to get from Brisbane to Cairns?
He normally does it in a couple of days. You know, you've got to follow the rules and all
that. Yes, he's got to have his sleep, and he's got to do all his logbooks and all that.
Yeah.
He earns between $8,000 to $10,000 a week.
Yes, because
after taxes and after all his outgoings.
No, that'd probably be, but that'd probably be before taxes.
Mm.
But it's still the contracts that he holds. He was doing that run for a company, mm-hmm. and then bought his own truck.
Yeah,
and then talked to the guys that he was doing the deliveries for and offered them a new contract, just him and not going through any middleman. And he didn't undercut price or anything. If anything, he offered more. He put more money on the table, and they went with my dad instead of the company that he was working with. And they chose him and went with him. And he's since picked up other contracts along the way where he picks up other stuff and drops it off at Cairns and Townsville and stuff like that. And back again when he picks up things and brings it back down to Brisbane.
Wow.
Yeah.
$8,000 to $10,000 a week. That's not just the one contract to Cairns. That's all these other little jobs as well.
Yep. And then he said it varies. Like some weeks it can be slow and he only does two or three of the contracts that he's got because there's not enough work or they don't have a big enough delivery that warrants sending it off and all that sort of stuff. But, I mean, I've been driving trucks in since I've been 17, actually, as like a removalist, but, you know, that's just driving local and stuff like that. And then I was doing interstates, and then I was down in Melbourne doing removals, and now I'm doing deliveries down the coast, up the coast for an appliance company. And, you know, I've seen it all. I can't say I've seen it all, but, you know, I've been doing this since I was 18, and I'm now 31 years old, and It grinds my gears, the amount of people that have looked at me as like, you're just a delivery driver, or, you just drive trucks. Or
yeah, no, I hear where you're coming from. I'm glad you rang. Did you want to say something very quickly about concussion?
Yeah, I really did. I wanted to touch on that. I've been playing sports since I was 7 years old, and I've suffered from concussions before.
Mm.
I've been knocked out and had a pretty bad one where I split my ear and put my head in the wrong spot in a tackle and stuff like that. And this lady that's come out and said that parents have to take more diligence in what they're putting their kids into as a sport. I mean, you take out all these high-risk sports that she's talking about that involve all these head injuries and stuff like that, and then you sort of limit yourself to what sports you can put your kid in then, and then...
Well, there's risk in everything, but there are some sports that are more risky than others, and she's talking about this CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Exactly, and have you seen what Ray Price has said on that?
The footballer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's donating his brain to science.
Yeah,
as he doesn't believe he has it.
Well, I don't know. Ray Price was a real warhorse, lock forward for the great Parramatta side of the late 70s, early 80s. But he's going to donate himself to science so they can have a look at his brain. But yes, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And Dr. Karen Phelps was my guest this week. She's written a book called Keep Your Brain Young. And she thinks, and Adam McDonald, you and I talked about this earlier, she thinks that there are some sports that should be banned. Boxing and martial arts sports like UFC, where you attack the head, she believes should be banned. Have a listen to this. This is Dr. Karen Phelps on the night shift earlier this week.
For many years, thought that we should be banning boxing, and there have been calls for the banning of boxing by the AMA, the American Medical Association, the World Medical Association. So, you know, doctors see the risk of boxing because the aim of the game is basically to cause a brain injury that will knock someone out or cause a concussion.
I have said that for years, Dr. Karen Phelps. I've said that for years. The ultimate result in boxing is a knockout. Now, you can win a boxing match on points, but the ultimate result is one opponent enforcing brain damage on the other. That's what a knockout is.
It is. And even, you know, to win on points, it means that you've inflicted enough brain damage on your opponent that they can't continue, and that then they stop the fight.
Mm.
So it's it makes no sense. And other forms of martial arts where the head is a target should be banned also. I'm pretty clear about that one. But it's interesting, as you say, Luke, that a lot of sports have started to take measures to reduce the risk, particularly for children. And soccer is an example, or football is an example of that, where heading the ball has been banned in some countries for children under 12. Yep.
The heading of a soccer ball, yeah?
Yeah, the law. There was a lawsuit in 2016, and after that, the American Youth Soccer Association introduced a new safety measure, which meant that they banned heading for all players under 12, and they limited heading in practice for 12 to 13-year-olds. So I think this is something that needs to be looked at for all age groups.
There you go. Dr. Karen Phelps thinks boxing should be banned because you attack the head. But what about that with soccer? Joel?
Oh, it's sort of almost like saying we should do judo to teach kids good discipline and stuff like that, but don't attack the head. I mean, like, when does it stop becoming the sport that it's actually is?
Well, Adam McDonald has a lot to say on this. The thing about boxing, and this is what we talked about, is that there are ways to win a boxing match. You can win a match on points, for example. But the main aim is to attack the head. You look, when boxers start out, they're jabbing the head. And the clear win in boxing, the undoubtable win in boxing, no need to go to the referee and no need to go to the score judges, a knockout. A knockout is the ultimate win in boxing. And a knockout is creating concussion on your opponent. Adam?
Yeah, getting in, like, if you want to be a boxer, you know what you're getting into. You know, I don't think they should mandate you can't do that fight. Anyone can't do that fight anymore because it's going to cause you injury. You know what you're getting into when you pull those gloves on. You know what you're getting into. It's up to you. Like all these lawsuits and stuff like that, I think they're crazy. Going back to soccer, taking
that was
the header.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, taking the header out of a game of soccer, that's like playing with one leg. That's like...
No, it's not. You've still got two legs.
But you can only use your legs and your head. That's all you've got. You're taking half the game away. The skill level of some of those headers in soccer or football, if you will, are just amazing. And it is half the game. It is a skill set that you train with, that you practice when you're doing corners. You can't say we're going to take that bit of the game out. That will kill that game. And to be brutally honest, the world football powers that be would not let it happen.
She said for kids 12 and under.
Yeah, but kids are getting signed to international clubs at the age of 12. Your skill set's already there. You're already an elite player at the age of 12. You know, teams like Man United and Barcelona, they'll be looking at kids at the age of 12 to bring them up through their ranks because they've got the skill set with their feet, because they've got the skill set with their head. And to take that away, and, you know, you're learning a whole... You get to the age of 12 and now you've got to learn a whole new skill set to get where you want to go with it. It's silly.
Well, there you are. 133353 is the telephone number. It's the Man Cave Friday morning here on Triple M. If you want to comment, Adam's fired up. It's taken him an hour and three quarters, but he's fired up. Jesus. The killers here on the night shift. Friday morning, the Man Cave. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very, very well, Joe. What are you doing? How come you're up?
Oh, I can't sleep.
Oh, dear. So you're listening to this rubbish. Okay.
I just wanted to talk about conspiracies and things like that are on the internet about COVID.
Mm.
They're not true because COVID is real. My sister was an anti-vaxxer and she now has COVID.
Tell me the story. What's happened?
She kept sending me all this stuff on emails and stuff about stuff on the internet that was saying that you shouldn't get the jabs and stuff like that. Well, I had my jabs, but she didn't believe it, and now she's got it. My great-nephew's got it, my niece has got it, and her boyfriend's got it.
And they're all anti-vaxxers?
Yes.
What does your sister say now?
She just said to me that it's just like having the flu, and then she ended up in hospital. And I spoke to her when she came out of hospital, and she could hardly breathe. So it is real, so please get vaccinated.
Your sister that went to hospital and nearly died, the anti-vaxxer.
Yes.
What does she say now that she went to hospital and nearly died? That's what I'm asking.
Well, she just keeps saying, oh, it's just like the flu.
But she went to hospital and nearly died.
Yes, because she still doesn't believe that it is really, really bad.
Adam, you have to... Adam, I think you're going to have to unplug and plug back in. Something's happened to your cord there, buddy. Adam wanted to say something. There you are. You're back. Adam, this is all technology. This is all strange technology to me and Adam. Adam's calling me from home. You there, Adam? No, we've lost it. But the rest of her family is sick as well. Is that what you're saying, Joe?
Yes, and like my great nephew's only 3 years old.
No, Adam, we've lost you, buddy. We've lost your audio. Well, thank you for the message, Joe. It's up to individuals. I just can't understand people who don't trust a vaccine that's been made by the best medical brains and scientific brains in the world, but they would rather trust a potentially fatal virus.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's quite stupid.
Thanks for your call, Joe. Appreciate it, mate. I hope your sister's okay. Peter, hello. Hello, Peter.
Oh, hello.
Yes, Peter.
Hello?
Yeah, Peter. Talk.
Oh, I just rang up to talk about the delivery stuff.
Yeah.
Like the questions, because that's what I like do for my living, like deliver the alcohol and stuff like that, and like do Uber Eats and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like you do it, like we do have to do like a course thing, like a tape thing. Or
okay, but you heard the story, right? So Jimmy Brings is under investigation. It's a very sad story. But I'm not sure Jimmy Brings is to blame for any of this. You've got a very sad story of how a 49-year-old man has died in his home in Bondi in Sydney. And it turns out that he'd been getting deliveries, alcohol deliveries, for quite some time, and three bottles of wine every day or something. And they're blaming the, well, they're not blaming, but there is an investigation into the liquor delivery service. My question is, how would the delivery service know how many people inside the house were drinking the alcohol? And if you order on an app, you don't know if the person ordering on the app is intoxicated. And is it the delivery service's responsibility to make sure that the person that they're delivering the alcohol to is sober? I guess you would have to, Peter, check and make sure they're over the age of 18, correct?
Yep. Yeah, you've got to ask for ID and all that and be shown the ID and that. And if they, if you get in trouble and that, not get caught not doing it properly, that you can get like $5,000 fines and stuff like that.
Okay, that's checking someone's age. Now, this is a 49-year-old man. I don't know, how does Jimmy Brings work? Do you talk to someone or is it all done on an app?
Yeah, I deliver for like Dan Murphy's and BWS and that. Like, I don't work for Jimmy.
Okay, so when someone orders alcohol and you deliver it, do they go through you or are you just the driver? Do they go to a website?
They go through Dan Murphy's and that, or BWS, there's a bunch of other things, and then they send it out to our app that we use, and then we go pick it up and sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, and when you get to somebody's house, do you go up to the door and make sure the person you're handing the liquor to is over 18?
Yeah, you got to show your ID. It's like, even if they're like 50 years old, you've got to have your ID because it's all identity thing.
And do you check to see how many people are inside the house that are going to consume this alcohol?
No, you don't check nothing like that. But
no.
Yeah, there's some regular people, they get like three or four cartons at a time.
And like, that's none of your business. You just deliver it.
Not my business. So yeah, you know, they order it, keep ordering, pay my bills, like, you know, not my, you know. But
I think the issue here is because it's now contactless collection, how do you card someone? How do you check their ID? It's very hard because you can't be looking at them, you can't be near them. So maybe that's the issue. But what about if I go to the local tobacconist three times a week? Mm-hmm. Can I go back at a later stage and say, well, you're selling me smokes that are going to kill me? It's a very big can of worms that you're going to open up here.
Yeah, and what if it's a menu log or a Deliveroo or whoever it is, and they deliver copious amounts of fast food, McDonald's and KFC, and the person they deliver to gets sick? Is it the deliverer's fault? Are they supposed to say, hang on, you're eating too much fast food? You know?
Yeah, it's a big can of worms. I don't think you can. I think they'll be all right.
Anyway, thanks.
I just kept hearing about it, and I was like, I'll just wait. I just wanted to, you know, throw my two cents in or answer any of the questions or whatever you had about it.
I'm glad you did. So, Adam, do you have a question? Peter's an alcohol delivery driver. Did you want to ask him something?
Do you think that the deliveries have upped during the lockdown sessions or during COVID? Like, you're delivering more?
Oh, it was crazy. People who stay at home, that was great. It was more busy than any. Like, that paid my bills. Like, this is my full-time job. And that paid my bills. Like, COVID was good for me. Some people, you know, went bad for them, but for me it was great. But it sort of died off now, and even, like, delivering Woolworths and all stuff like that, it's all sort of, dropped off a bit.
What would be, during COVID lockdown, Adam, stop scratching yourself, what would be, at the peak of lockdown, what city are you in, Peter?
Penrith.
Okay, so during lockdown, what would be a typical alcohol delivery to a typical house?
You just go pick it up at Dan Murphy's and then you go take it to the house?
No. I'm talking about what would you deliver? Wine, beers, spirits, a bit of everything?
Wine, cartons of beers and that, and then there's, mainly cartons of beer or box wines, like lots of the box wines and that. People just buy in bulk and that. But some people just buy one, you know, one wine bottle or one spirit bottle and that. It's, they're in boxes you can't see, like it's all sort of packaged a bit. But, I'd rather just one carton, less for me to carry.
Okay, all right, I'll let you, You haven't been tasting your own product at all this morning, have you, Pete?
No. I'm driving. I'm sitting in the car. I'm doing Uber Eats at the moment. I just turned it off. I just waited for an hour.
It is hard to get through. I appreciate your call, Peter. And you reckon that lockdown and driving and delivering liquor has paid your bills?
It's my full-time job, yeah.
Yeah, all right, Pete. Thanks for your call, buddy.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, yep. See you later. Bye-bye. 133353 is the telephone number. I will continue to take calls, Adam, but I'm going to let you go. You've got a big poker night tonight. Have you got an auction on today we need to know about?
Just a general estate furniture sale. There's nothing fantastic, but there's lots of that. I've started to catalogue that vintage medical sale, which is, all the turn-of-the-century dentistry instruments. And the amputation saws and clamps, and so that'll be up online at Lawson's probably today. I'll put it up. It's very interesting.
I'd love an amputation saw up in my man cave. It'd be a great talking point, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so I've catalogued it. There's an amputation saw,
what else
a saw
is there?
Block, and a bone breaker all in one lot.
What's a bone breaker?
It's just a big heavy hammer that you'd use to break a bone to put it back in place, or I'm not sure. I don't know what it's for, but it's pretty gory. It's pretty nice.
What about a good old-fashioned rib cage separator? Have you got that?
I've got one of those.
Oh, good.
I think one of the most weird and wonderful thing is a birthing demonstration doll.
Go on.
So it's just a rubber doll, life-size rubber doll of a female pelvis. Mm-hmm. And then it shows you what happens during a birth. So there's a baby inside and... Mm-hmm. It's pretty out there.
And
it's the first one I've seen.
And can you purchase a placenta, or do you provide your own? What's the story
there?
You
have to provide your own. We don't provide that.
Oh, okay, all right. I had to ask. Thank you very much. Adam McDonald, star of the TV show Aussie Pickers and a member of the Man Cave. He's been on his own with me this morning. Simon couldn't join us. Adam, if people want to get in touch with you, if they want to find out what it's worth.
Yep, go to What's It Honestly Worth on Instagram. It's a good little thing. Just hit me up there. You can message me there. You can send me photos there, and I'll tell you what you got and what I think you can sell it for.
Have a good night at poker tonight. Hope you win, buddy. Just remember,
Thanks, look,
I don't know anything about poker, but you've got to know when to hold them, Adam, okay? Number one.
Yep.
You've got to know when to fold them. Goodbye.
Yeah, then...
Goodbye. I've milked it. Goodbye.
You've done it twice.